We are friendly.
We are understanding.
We are family.
We are honest.
We are happy.
We are friends.
We are fun.
We are encouraging.
We are unique. Somos único.
We are believers.
We are creative.
We are loving.
We are tender.
We are diverse.
We are compassionate.
We are redeemed.
We are authentic.
We are broken.
We are renewed.
We are real.
We are sinners.
We are transformed.
We are imperfect.
We are undeserving.
We are cleansed.
We are accepting.
We are forgiven.
We are restored.
We are growing.
We are changing.
We are servants.
We are hopeful.
We are courageous.
We are united. Estamos unidos.
We are sensitive.
We are strong.
We are faithful.
We are committed.
We are bold.
We are transparent.
We are trusting.
We are leaders.
We are generous.
We are ready.
We are enduring.
We are free.
We are CBC.
I gotta tell you, knowing every person on that video and just realizing how well matched many of those words are to describe even the real situation of a lot of those individuals was just wonderful. It's good to see you all. Praise the Lord that we have Jesus Christ in our lives and that we are part of his body. Praise the Lord for that great truth, that no matter what this life yields for us, one thing that cannot change is that when we gave our lives to Christ, he gave his to us. He's given us life, life now and life forever. What a blessing, what a joy. It's good to worship with you. I got to say something about that video, though. In the making of it, when we created the list of the words that we thought best described our body, I looked at the word that was going to be assigned to me, and I liked it. And I said, thankfully, I didn't get the one that says we are sinners. And then when I arrived, they had changed things and gave to me the word sinners. There's really no way to say that in a very winsome, smiling way, so I just said it. But it is a reminder to us of the fact that we are not what we once were because of Christ. Amen? Well, I hope you'll take your Bible out with me this morning and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we conclude our series, We Are CBC, talking about our vision and so forth. And we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 26. That's page 813 if you're using one of the red Bibles. I want to say hello to our friends in the video cafe, to CBC Hispana. It's just great to be here and worship together. As you turn there, let me just lead us in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the truth of your word that tells us who we really are. We are sinners who are being transformed into the image of Christ. We are saints, therefore, even now. And yet we know, Lord, that that work is far from over in our lives, so we ask you to do more of it today. I need that in my life, Lord. I need you to transform my heart more and more. And so I pray for all of us, Lord, that you would help us to rise up as the church and to fall to our knees in prayer and humility and to be fully submitted to you, to the authority of your Son, Jesus Christ, the head of the church, to the authority of his word, the word of God, to the leading of your Spirit, the very Spirit of God. And I pray, Father, for all here today, whatever we've been dealing with this week, this month, even this morning, as we were reminded, you are our refuge and strength. We give you your place in our hearts. We pray, Father, that you would just minister your grace and your joy and your love and your healing touch to all of us. Heal the brokenness that exists in our hearts, Lord, in our lives, day by day. as we follow your Son. In his name we pray. Amen. You know, thanks to the invention of digital photography, I think photography has undergone a revolution for the better. You remember the old school days of photography where you had to put in some film, and because of that, you could only typically take about maybe 36 or 48 photographs before you had to switch it out. And then once you took some photographs, you would have to, of course, send that to the photo lab and then wait for your prints. And then when you got the prints, remember, you'd go through the stack to look at the ones that didn't turn out so good and toss them aside, and then, you know, boil it down to the ones that were good. And if you had your heart set on a specific shot, chances are you got it or you didn't, depending on the angle or the lighting. And that was it. But thanks to digital photography, everything's different now, right? You can take as many pictures as you want, depending on your memory, and you can see the results instantly, and you can decide for yourself if it's good enough. And so it sort of changed everything. And as I think about vision, you know, vision is an awful lot like a camera. Vision helps us take a mental snapshot of a better future. Vision helps us see a picture of a preferred future, and that's sort of what we're talking about here in our series, We Are CBC. Who are we? Where have we come from? What is God doing in our body? Where are we going? And our elders and our pastors and many of our leaders have a mental snapshot of what that should look like, and we're talking about some strategic opportunities in this year and the next few years. But today, as we finish this series, as we've been talking about who we are according to our name, that we are first and foremost a church that is called and committed to the community that we live in, our city of High Point, the greater Piedmont area, and anywhere and everywhere that God will take us and use us. We also then talked about how in the center of our name is the word Bible. We are a church that is committed to reading, believing, teaching, and applying the Scripture to life. It's in the center of our name. It's in the center of our ministry. But today we talk now about what it means to be the church. And I'll tell you what, depending on your background and your experiences, every single one of us has a different sense of what it means to be the church. But I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 26, where we study one of the best passages of Scripture on what the church is, of how God has created the church, of how it should function, of how we should be the church together, known as Community Bible Church. And so I'm going to draw out four different attributes that Paul describes here about the body of Christ. And, you know, these are things that can apply certainly to the entire body of Christ worldwide. Theologians often call the whole church, church with a big C, the universal church. All believers throughout time, all around the world, all Christians, the whole body of Christ. And these things would apply to the whole body of Christ. But they also, I think, apply in many ways to every individual church, every individual congregation, church with a small c, the local church. We'll see these attributes are true. So these things are true about us together as CBC. They are true about the whole body of Christ. And Paul begins with my favorite attribute of the body, unity. And he says it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. He says, the body is a unit. Already you see the word surfacing, unit, unity, united, it's all related, the same root. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. He says that the body is a unit. It's made up of many parts, but it's one entity. He uses throughout this section of Scripture the human body, human anatomy, as an analogy for the way the body of Christ is arranged and how it should function, how we should function together. And he starts out by focusing on the unity of the body of Christ. You have one body, right, that you live in, your body. That's who you are, and yet it is composed of many different parts and pieces. Though there are many, they are one. And so it is with Christ. Every single Christian that's ever lived or ever will live is part of this one and only body of Christ. And notice he says that all began when we were first converted to Christ and we received the Spirit, and it was the Spirit that incorporated us into the body. He says, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. That's how we got into this body. That is a work of the Spirit. There are some believers who claim in their traditions that you can become a Christian and then you receive the Spirit at a later time. Not so, according to Paul. That cannot be. Once you receive the Spirit is when you become a believer. Once you receive the Spirit is when you are incorporated into the body of Christ. All of that happens at the moment you put your faith in Jesus, whether you were 5 or 50. It's a one-and-done act. And so he's clearly emphasizing, we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so in the same way that our human body is one organism made up of many cells, that's the way it is of the body of Christ. We're all parts and pieces and individuals within it. What a glorious truth. And unity is the first and most important characteristic of this body. Notice, too, that our unity even transcends many of the distinctions and the barriers that we experience in society. Notice again in verse 13, he says that we are all part of this one body, whether we are Jews or Greeks. That was the greatest ethnic divide or barrier in the ancient world. Whether we were slave or free, he says, that was the greatest economic barrier or divide in the ancient world. And you're looking at the full spectrum there. And so in the body of Christ, you have every ethnicity, you have people from every economic background, and we are all supposed to be one together in Christ. I love that about the church, the unity of the body of Christ. It transcends everything. Now, what I love about CBC is we have a great deal of unity here. And I experience that all the time. I experience it daily with the pastors and staff. I experience it with the elders and deacons and others in leadership. And I experience it in our small group that we lead, in small groups that we have visited, in this whole congregation. I don't know if you noticed that, but there is a sense of unity here among us, right? I love that. It's something that has taken, I think, a lot of commitment to build. And if you've ever been in a church, in a setting that was not united, that was divided, then you know how precious and how important unity is. I have lived on the other side. The church that I served in Central Illinois was very divided before we got there. And for the record, I had nothing to do with it. But when I had my candidating weekend experience there, you know, where you come in and you have interviews and you meet with groups and then you preach for the first time and then you leave and then they talk about you behind your back and make a decision. When we were there, you could sense the division in the air. And you could see how people were in two factions, basically. And when we were in group settings and people would ask questions, they would do it in such a way that they were asking me something that you could tell was sort of a retort against somebody else. And I could just pick up on that. And when we left, Elizabeth said to me, "You're not seriously thinking about going there, are you? Because the place is so divided." And I said, "Well, actually, I'm very desperate. I was an associate pastor hoping for some place to let me be a senior pastor, and I was just looking for God's will." And I naively thought that maybe I could come in and help bring people together for reconciliation, since I'd created none of this mess, and using some great principles that I've learned from a ministry called Peacemaker Ministries, trying to help people deal with their conflicts, resolve them, and become united. By the way, just as a preview to where we're going next, in February, we're starting a 40-day experience, a 40-day campaign called 40 Days of Peace. Doesn't that sound nice? And we'll teach a lot of these principles that will help you achieve peace in your life and in your relationships, at home, at work, helping make and maintain it here at church, all of that. It's going to be a good experience. So I arrived on the scene in Central Illinois, and immediately as people started reaching out to me, telling me about the problems that needed to be solved, I would start to say to them, "You know what, we need to reconcile, and the first thing we need to do in that process is take responsibility for our part of the conflict." And people began to go, "Oh, you're on the other side." And I would say, "I'm on nobody's side. I'm on everybody's side. I want us to be one, united." It's a huge value to me. But it was in that experience I learned right away, some people are only interested in winning. Do you know that? Whether it's marriage, whether it's work, whether it's church, some people are only interested in winning. And winning at sometimes any price. And that leads to a lot of disunity, a lot of division. So after about 6 months, I really, day by day, began to wonder what had I got myself into. And I didn't think I was going to make it. But thanks be to God, and I'll share some more of this in that 40 Days of Peace campaign, God began to bring people to the table to heal the division. And I set it as my mission to preach on unity as long as I could for as long as it would take until people would buy into it or make the choice that they needed to make. And so for the next whole year, I preached on unity every single chance I got. I mean, I would just teach through books of the Bible, but you'd be shocked how much unity is addressed for the well-being of the congregation, for the Church of Jesus Christ. And man, every time I'd bring it up, people would sometimes roll their eyes. And I knew when they did that, they needed more attention, so I'd really focus in on them so that they would get it. And guess what? They either got it or they got out. Because some people don't want unity. They just want their way. But friends, remember, Jesus said in John chapter 17, as he prayed for us, as he prayed for all believers, he said, Father, I pray that they might be one, even as you and I are one. Jesus prayed for our unity, and then he gave his life for it. And I'll tell you, I fight for our unity, because it matters more than anything else, that we might be one. And it is the way the body of Christ is to be healthy. So unity is the first attribute, and I love that. And so Paul starts with that. But now he goes on and he talks about the next attribute of the body of Christ. And this is where our unity comes from. It's a unity that's based on diversity. We're not all the same, and we shouldn't be. There's an incredible diversity to the body of Christ, the way God has designed it. Notice in verse 14, now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. I love that. You know, he's talked about the diversity of the body of Christ already when he described the ethnic and economic diversity that exists in the body of Christ. He's already referred to that kind of diversity. But now here, he talks about the functional diversity of the body of Christ, that we all have different functions to fulfill in the body of Christ. Do you know your function? He's given you one. That's what his word says. You have a part to play. You have a role to fulfill. He's given you spiritual gifts to fulfill that. If we started with chapter 12, verse 1, he would talk about spiritual gifts, and he goes on back to that subject later. And so part of being a healthy Christian is to know our spiritual gifts and to use them to fulfill our function. And so if you're in a state where you don't know what your function is or what your gifts are, you know, if you take our membership class, we almost always there administer spiritual gifts tests and talk about what they are. And then if you pursue membership, an elder and a deacon will get together with you and explore opportunities for involvement, show you how in your unique design you can fit into ministries or start ministries or who knows what. But it's also that we will fulfill our various functions. We need that for the body to be healthy. Some people, when they think about unity, they confuse it with uniformity. But the body of Christ is diverse. There's an incredible diversity to it. That's the way God designed it. Unity is not uniformity. What is uniformity? It's where everyone is the same. That's why, for example, in the military, everyone wears a uniform, right? Because you're not supposed to be showing off your fashion there. They don't value individuality. They value uniformity because lives depend on it. And so everybody dresses the same, basically. Everybody acts and speaks the same and does the same things and so forth because they value uniformity. But in the body of Christ, our unity is based on our incredible diversity, that we're not all the same, that we come from all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of ethnicities, all kinds of experiences, and God has created something rich and wonderful and healthy because of that. And when we are united, though we are very different and diverse, then God clearly gets the glory, and the world sees something absolutely amazing and incredible. If we don't fulfill our functions, then this body is what? Dysfunctional. If parts of your body cease to fulfill their function, you're not going to be healthy, are you? Your body is going to be somewhat dysfunctional. And here's how the Apostle Peter describes that, because he says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, he talks about how if we will give God the use of our gifts, then the body wins and receives grace. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. When you use the gifts that God has given you for the sake of the body of Christ, we all win, and we all experience God's grace in its many different forms. That's a wonderful thing. So you've been given an important responsibility to fulfill. No one can do what God has called you to do. No one can replace you. No one can take your part in the body of Christ. And I love how we have such an incredible diversity here at CBC. We are over 20 different ethnicities, as I've been told. And then CBC Hispano, which today is starting to meet in the gym because they are now well outgrowing the middle school room, 120 people now. A year ago, 50 some odd. And they are many different Latin American nations. And the diversity in our body can just be felt. And yet, at the same time, there's opportunity for more. Last Saturday, I was, not this past one, but a week ago, I was with the Sudanese community of the Piedmont area. And we have several Sudanese families in our church, and they've been here a long time, and God has just done amazing, miraculous things. And I think His glory is on display when we see the diversity of the body of Christ. Well, we have unity, we have diversity, but Paul goes on and he wants to talk about how each one of us is necessary. We are here by necessity. There are no expendable parts to the body. Notice he says in verse 21, he says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. See, that's where we get the word necessity from. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. He says, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. Now, he says a lot there, but the thing I want to focus on is how every one of us is here by necessity. We are all necessary to the body of Christ. Otherwise, God would not have incorporated us into His body. He wants to use every single one of us. He wants a relationship with every single one of us. He has a necessary function for each of us to fulfill. And he says, even if you don't feel that way, even if you think, because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body. Think again. He says, even some of those parts that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Let's think about the human body again. What is one of the weaker parts of the body? Have you ever had your eye impacted by something? Something has flown into your eye and suddenly it's just irritated and you're just doing everything you can to protect it. When you think about it, the eye is very, very weak, isn't it? It's not meant to take abuse. It's very delicate. It seems to be weaker, although it does an awful lot. And so he says the parts that seem to be weaker, we are actually realizing they are indispensable. Try to live without your eyes. And you'll see that you don't function near as well as you did before. And there are a lot of parts in the body that we don't see at work all the time, right? They do their work behind the scenes. A good way to think about it is by using this mannequin here, the Community Bible Church Body of Christ. Legless. Not headless. Paul will tell us that the head of the church is who? Jesus Christ. But you know, there are an awful lot of things. Excuse me, sir, but I'm going to reach under your shirt. There are an awful lot of things that are very important and probably weak in and of themselves, or so they seem to be, and they do their work behind the scenes. How many of you think about your liver? You probably never think about your liver and what it does and how important it is. It does all of its work behind the scenes. You never know it until there's a problem. But try living without your liver for a while. You won't last long. And you know what? Here in our body, there are a lot of people who do a lot of work behind the scenes, and we'll never see that. But you know what? You're indispensable. You're absolutely necessary. You love and you serve and you minister to people individually or in groups, and we might never even realize what's going on, but that's your ministry. And you're making a difference. And Paul says, we treat those parts of the body that sometimes think they're not necessary. We treat them with even more honor to help them understand what you do is vital to our health and our well-being. That's important for me to remember at times because we have to realize what happens here on this stage is a very small part of how the body functions. Very small part. The body's alive and active, and God is always doing His work through His people, and it's wonderful. Now, to experience a lot of this, I think, as far as the necessity of each person and the spiritual gifts, it's hard to do that when we gather here on Sunday morning in a room like this. Wouldn't you agree? We'll experience some gifts. Man, we have great musical gifts and talents. We have great worship. We have lots of things that we can enjoy together as a group. But for the most part, I think this comes alive when you're in a small group. I think it's when you're in a small group, when you're building relationships with other believers, that you really sense that necessity. You begin to realize how much you need the people in that group to love you, to care for you, to pray for you, to support you, and how much they need you, because when they're going through something difficult and challenging, you can be the hands, the arms, you can be the feet that helps and serves. And it's in a small group that this really comes to life. If you're not in a small group, let me encourage you, look for one. Let us know that you're interested in one. You can experience a lot of what God has for you in the body of Christ, and it's wonderful. And yet I still think sometimes people don't believe their part is necessary in the body of Christ. Think about the human body. Is there any part of it that's unnecessary? How many of you have had your appendix removed? Raise your hand. If you've had your appendix removed, raise your hand. Okay, what about that part? Isn't that unnecessary? It's been thought for generations that the appendix is really not necessary, and when it gets inflamed and when it's sick or whatever, then it can create real problems. But guess what? Even just a few years ago, some of the thinking on that has changed. Back in 2007, scientists at Duke University Medical School, yes, that school, published their research showing that the purpose of the appendix is to produce and protect good germs for your gut. So let me read to you some of their report. For generations, the appendix has been dismissed as superfluous. Doctors figured it had no function. Surgeons remove them routinely. People live fine without them. And when infected, the appendix can turn deadly. It gets inflamed quickly, and some people die if it isn't removed in time. The appendix, and I quote, acts as a good safe house for bacteria, said Duke Surgery Professor Bill Parker, a study co-author. The location of the appendix, just below the normal one-way flow of food and germs in the large intestine, is a sort of gut cul-de-sac. Helps support the theory, he said. The idea seems by far more likely the explanation for the function of the appendix, said Brandeis University biochemistry professor Douglas Theobald. The theory has led other scientists and doctors to begin to wonder about another part of the body that is often yanked, the tonsils. And so you see, even in the last few years, medical science is starting to realize that every part of the body has a function to fulfill, whether we realize it or not. And some of you are like the appendix. You're a safe house for bacteria. You're a gut cul-de-sac. But we need you. And if you get infected, you're gone. Every one of these things is necessary. Otherwise, I don't think, I can't put those back in there. It's okay. You'll be fine. Otherwise, I don't think God would have made them. That takes us back to just appreciating the fact of creation and how God has designed the body as it should be. Every person is necessary. If you've been here from day one, or this is your first day and God is bringing you here, you're necessary to what he wants to accomplish in this body. Well, there's one final attribute that we need to discuss. And we're in the middle of verse 24. And this is where now Paul focuses on the equality of every part of the body. So we've had unity, we've had diversity, we've had necessity, and now we come to equality. And he says it this way, "But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to those parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have," here it is, "equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." There is an equality to everyone in the body of Christ. Every person in the body of Christ has equal value, and we should have an equal concern for everyone. Again, that's hard to sense and experience in a large group like this, but that's very easy to sense and experience and enjoy in a small group, because that's where you sense all of that. That's where you live that out together. And so, unlike other organizations, the body of Christ doesn't act according to the rules of this world like seniority. If you were here from day one, that doesn't make you more important than somebody who is here for the first day. We all have an equal value to God. And we should have an equal concern for each other because we are equal brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul talks about this elsewhere in Galatians chapter 3. He says in Galatians chapter 3, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Those were the great distinctions of the ancient world. But we have an equal value in Christ. Let me mention once again, friends, that as we explore our vision for the next few years, Vision 2015, as we think about opportunities that God is giving us to start another campus in the Oak Ridge community, or to reach out into the inner city of High Point and to bring good works and good news to people in need, or as we think about focusing in our global outreach ministry even further on Jamaica and Ghana to see if we can help transform communities there, what strikes me as most important for us to think about is that we all need to do this together. Every person can play some part in praying for that, in helping support that, in joining those efforts. And the success of those things is dependent on all of us as we trust the head of the church, Jesus Christ. We're all necessary. And so I'm hoping once again to give you the opportunity to just let us know if you're interested in coming to a meeting where you can hear more about our plans to launch a campus in September in Oak Ridge. We're going to go public with those meeting dates very soon, but if you're interested, we want to at least include you on the invite list. You're not signing up for any long-term commitment, just to come and hear more of what God's doing, who's going to be involved, what's our timeline and our resources and our vision for this. And so we'd love to include you in on that. So let us know if you're interested. On your contact card, fill that out. And on the back, on the very bottom, there's a string of letters, the alphabet. Just circle the letter O. Let us know, O for Oak Ridge. And we'll be sure to invite you, and hopefully you can make it. God's going to do some great things, and we're excited about that. We're excited about our body working together. My favorite quote about the body of Christ comes from theologian J.I. Packer. Here's what he said. The body is not a bus where one person does the driving and everybody else rides along and watches. The body is an anthill where we all work together. And don't you dare be calling me the Queen Bee, because we have something better than that, King Jesus. Amen? Father, thank you so much for this church, for this body of Christ. Thank you, Father, that every person here you have brought and have assembled into the body that you want us to be. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us all to fulfill our function, to identify those spiritual gifts and to put them to use, that the grace of God would be unrestrained in our body and beyond. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to move forward together in unity, taking advantage of our diversity, experiencing our equality, and striving for the vision that you have laid before us. And I thank you so much for the great work you have done here at CBC over the years and for the great work you will do. It is all to your glory and honor and no one else's. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.